Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's Thursday from 6 to 7. It's time for the Red Card with me, Casey Gibson, live on radio.dominican.edu. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a good day. It's been a good, really good day. I hope everybody's had a good day themselves. But for myself, at least, it's been fantastic. Not too rough of a day with classes, because that's the goal in college is learning, but not like killing yourself, because there are definitely classes where you have to do that, and not doing it consistently, like back to back to back. That's why I would not last as a nursing major or a bio major. I'm telling you, those kids are a different kind of student. They're a different kind of breed. It takes a lot. And for those of them that play sports, whew, good for them. That's all I can really say about that is good for them. Anyway, but like I said, it's not too bad of a day. There's a good week so far, and it's almost done. Tomorrow is Friday, TGIF. Well, for myself, it's TGIT. Like I said, I'm really happy that today is Thursday. I get to do the show and come on and talk a little soccer with everybody out there across the world. It was a busy weekend, busy weekend, and kind of early week in the world of soccer. Got a little international, we'll talk about, some other kind of fun facts, like from the Dirty Tackle, some interesting stories happening right now. But all in all, it's been a good week, a good day, a good week in terms of weather as well. I thought it was going to be rainy this week, but it hasn't been too bad. On my way back from work, just a couple minutes ago, I got the first sprinkles of the week on my car, and I was a little surprised. I was like, "Whoa, wait, time out. What's this?" Didn't last very long, so I don't think we really got much to worry about. And hopefully, it's a good weekend, because I don't have anything going on this weekend. So it'll be a good weekend to relax. Last weekend I went to the Oregon and Stanford game. It was a very good game. I know it's not soccer, but it's whatever. It was fun. Unfortunately, the team that I wanted to win didn't win, but that's okay. Life goes on. In fact, it was just a rough weekend for my teams last weekend in general. Neither Boise State nor Stanford won. So, life goes on. But I noticed something, okay? And I'm going to relate this to soccer. So we're sitting there, and we're at the very top of the stadium, basically, and our seats are kind of at the top. Not bad seats, I'm not going to say. I don't think there's really a bad seat at Stanford Stadium. I believe that with all my heart, that there's really not a bad seat there. Anyway, so we're sitting there. We kind of got the Oregon end. It was kind of dominated, whatever, by Oregon fans. And, I mean, let me tell you, those fans travel fantastically. I don't even know if fantastically is the right word to use, but that's what I'm going to use. They travel so many fans. Not quite as many, and someone next to me was like, actually behind me, an Oregon fan was like, "Man, we travel a lot of fans. We're really good. I mean, I bet we're one of the best." One of the guys says, "I bet we're one of the best." The guy next to him says, "Nah, we are the best." And I turned to him and I said, "You don't beat Boise State. I'm sorry. When you have a team that goes all the way across the country to play Virginia Tech last year, and it's about 50-50 or 60-40, let's be honest here, people. You don't travel as good as fans at." And a lot of people are saying it's 50-50 Oregon fans and 50% Oregon and 50% Stanford. No, there's more like 70-30, but still there's a lot of Oregon fans, for sure. Anyway, but so we're sitting there, right, and we're kind of at the top. Well, this lady brings this Occupy Stanford sign and thought she was the smartest person in the world. It was really funny to watch her, She's kind of a hippie girl. Nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with it at all, but it's funny just to see her like attitude, and she thought she was so clever. Well, she must have been that smart because she ended up holding it up backwards for most of the game, or at least for most of the first quarter. She was holding it up backwards, so she's like holding the Occupy Stanford up behind her so the people behind her can see it. That's only like two rows, so that's not very many people. I think she got a little confused on where the writing was. I don't know. Anyway, So she's holding the sign up, and this Oregon fan behind her starts yelling at her. And we're like, I'm telling you, we're like 4 minutes into the game. And the guy's yelling at her, just like, put that sign down. And, you know, using some expletives that I'm not, you know, allowed to say over the radio here. And just screaming at her. So that goes on. Oregon drives the ball down the field and scores. So at the next point, I look over and he's like talking to her. And I thought he was like apologizing. You know, they scored. So the tensions are kind of, you know, relaxed a little bit, at least on the Oregon side. And everything was all good and dandy. Obviously, I was wrong because he just started going back and just yelling at her some more. And I mean, this guy had been drinking. There's no question about that. And the guys behind him are like trying to calm him down. He's like, you're not helping me. Leave me alone. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, I'm sitting there going, goodness gracious, man. Mind you, he's an Oregon fan. So the girl's an Oregon fan. He's okay. Oregon fan, two Oregon fans. Okay, we got it. Another guy from across the aisle tries to come over and help out and just, you know, kind of calm him down a little bit. And he goes, are you helping me? I don't think so. You're not helping me. So why should I be quiet? Like, you want to help me? You want to help me? And just goes off on this poor guy who's simply just trying to honestly calm the situation down. He's trying to help out. You know, he's trying to cool each side. Anyway, so they start bickering back and forth and he's still bickering with the other girl. So we're like, I'm going to say 8 minutes into the game and there's almost two fights between Oregon fans. Okay. Two fights, two separate fights. One, you know, there's only three parties, but there's two separate fights, both between Oregon and Oregon fans. Like, it wasn't like an Oregon fan and a Stanford fan. It was an Oregon fan and an Oregon fan fighting, and then an Oregon fan and an Oregon fan fighting. I was just like, that baffled me. I was like, that doesn't even make sense. If you're going to get a fight, at least get in a fight with someone that's from the opposing team. Like, in soccer, we don't have that. We don't have that problem, okay? If you like this team and I like this team, we're brothers, basically, you know? We may not look alike, but we're basically brothers. Especially in Europe. Now, Americans, yeah, we're in America, it's a little different. Because the way we see sports and the way we participate in sports and cheer for sports is a little different. In England and in anywhere in Europe, basically in South America, your team that you support is like a religion. You don't go back on that team. You don't, you know, that would be considered heresy. So, you know, that's against it. Like, you don't do that. And so you don't fight people that believe in the same thing as you do. You fight people that are against you and who root for another team, like hooligans, soccer hooligans. You know, they literally think that their thing is life and it's what they believe and they are willing to die for that, you know? Which is, I mean, can't really argue with that. There's a lot of religions that feel that way and stuff. I don't know if I consider it a religion, but I compare it to a religion because it's kind of the same, you know, idea. But they believe that, and if you tell them otherwise, you better watch out because they're coming for you. Honestly, and I don't know if anybody has seen it, the Green Street Hooligans, great film, and pretty realistic. You know, a lot of these guys live average lives until they become until it's match day, and then they become a whole different animal, basically, just a whole different animal. And but hey, who would tell them that they can't do that? You know, and a lot of people frown down upon it. And you know, the stuff with the, you know, Giants fan and the Dodgers fans, I think that's so sad. You know, the Giants fan just recently came out of a coma, I believe. Anyway, I think that's so sad. But that stuff happens on a regular. That stuff happens every match day. So every week, something along those lines happens. It may not cause you to go into a coma, but someone gets beat up. There's no question about that. Fights happen. People are even sometimes killed, and that's just life. Almost, it's a sad thing, but that's why our fan, like, yeah, you can be a passionate and you can love that your team, but we don't understand that there's people out there that are extreme fans, and by extreme I mean like willing to die for that team. Do I support hooliganism? No, but I've always kind of thought it'd be fun to go there and get in with like a firm in England, at least. Firm is what they're called in England, and see kind of how they work and be part of one at least. I don't know. I'm never gonna do it because I'd probably get my butt kicked, but I just think it'd be fun to at least watch them, like, you know what I mean? Just kind of see their behaviors and whatnot. But anyway, enough about that. We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're actually going to get into the show, and we're going to talk a little international soccer. We got a little UEFA Euro qualifying that happened. We got a little MLS to talk about, some dirty tackle. I know you guys love the dirty tackle. I do too. EPL, and I think we'll just – that'll probably take us to the end of the hour. So, I mean, we got a lot to talk about in these segments. I know there's only like four, but there's a lot. There's a lot within those four. So, with that, I will send you to break. You're listening to The Red Card with Casey Gibson on radio.dominican.edu.
Be a million things go on each day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with me, your host, Casey Gibson. That's right. So I left you before we went to break. We talked a little bit about, how life is going here on campus, and also about how I almost saw two fights between two Oregon fans, and compared it to a little bit of soccer and how the differences in the type of fans, I guess, there can be throughout the world. So now the next segment we're gonna do is international soccer. We got two different kinds of international soccer here. The first segment we are going to do friendlies. There's a lot of friendlies over the weekend, and by weekend I mean Friday, Saturday, and then Monday and Tuesday. There were also some more. Most countries played two games, either on Friday or Saturday, and then again on Monday or Tuesday. Good games, great games happened. And then after that, we're going to talk a little bit of UEFA qualification because, well, some crazy things happened and some teams qualified, and you will be the first. Well, I don't know about first to know, but you will be the first to know on my show. You all right? All right, here we go. The first game was between Georgia and Moldova. Georgia pulled out the 2-0 win. I saw a little bit of this game, not a whole lot. It looked pretty even, I would say, but Georgia pulled it off. Two teams that aren't necessarily at the top tier of international soccer, but you know, nonetheless, international means international, and decently equal game. Albania gets the defeat 1-0 to Azerbaijan. Didn't really get to see this one. I watched a little bit of the highlights on FootyTube, which I, by the way, totally support. If you are going to watch soccer highlights, watch it on FootyTube. It's fantastic. It's like YouTube, but for soccer. They have every game, every league, and everything. Just the highlights, though. Not the full games, unfortunately. It wasn't an impressive game. Of course, two teams that aren't, you know, always at the top tier in football. Hungary gets the 5-0 win over Liechtenstein. Again, not the greatest. Denmark gets a 2-0 win over Sweden. Nicholas Bentner scored the first goal, and Michael Krondelhi, I think is how you spell his name, gets the second goal. Decent game, yeah, not bad. You have great talent in Nicholas Bentner, the self-proclaimed "I don't do anything wrong" Nicholas Bentner from Arsenal, who played in the EPL. That's right. He claims that when he misses a shot, it wasn't him missing the shot. It was someone else's fault for missing that shot. I'm just saying what I've heard. Greece and Russia played to a 1-1 tie. Alan Dragzev gets the goal for Russia, and Kostas Katsouranis. Man, those Greek names are so cool. They sound so cool, but I just struggle with pronunciation on them. Anyway, he gets the goal for Greece, ends in a 1-1 tie. Netherlands and Switzerland play to a 0-0 draw. This isn't really surprising. In the last two meetings, they've come out in draws. The most recent one of the two ended in a 0-0 as well. And then the one before that ended in a 1-1 draw. Which is surprising. I thought, you know, with Van Persie being on this goal-scoring streak, I thought he was going to be able to put one in. But the Switzerland's defense is very, very good. No question about that. They're a very good team. And held a very offensively powerful Netherlands team. And let me tell you, it's not like they started their B team. They definitely started their starters, such as Sneijder, Van Persie, Van Bommel. Who else played? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Stekelenburg was in goal, was in net. So it's definitely the number one team for the most part in the Netherlands. And it was a very good offense going against a very good defense. So a 0-0 draw is probably a fair draw for the game, or a fair score for the game. Belgium beat Romania 2-1. Daniel Van Buyten for Belgium gets a goal, and an own goal was scored by Razvan Kosic. For Romania, Daniel George Nicolai gets the goal for Romania. A pretty decent game in that one. I watched that on FootyTube, so pretty decent for that one. Panama beats Costa Rica 2-0. Cyprus lost to Scotland 2-1. The Cyprus goal goes to Demetrius Christoph, and Kenny Miller and Jamie Mackey get the goals for Scotland. Poland lost to Italy 2-0. Mario Balotelli set the scoring off for Italy, and Giampaolo Pazzini got the other goal for Italy. Unfortunately, in the 83rd minute, Jacob Blaskov missed the penalty. So Poland could have gotten on the score sheet, but unfortunately, the clean sheet stays for Italy. Ukraine and Germany, the big, high, powerful, the two powerful scoring teams, met in Ukraine after that. Kind of, I told you about the dog thing happening, and this one was a good one. Ukraine led 3-1 at halftime. That's right, over Germany, who's reached the semifinals of the last two World Cups. Just throwing it out there, and someone I'd say keep your eye on in the Euro 2012 competition. I feel like they could go very, very far. Anyway, Ukraine's first goal came in the 28th minute. Andriy Yarkinko scored in the 36th minute. Yevhen Konoparenka scored the second goal. Toni Kroos, who's a fantastic midfield player for, he plays midfield for Germany, but he also plays midfield for Bayern Munich, fantastic youngster, scored in the 38th minute, so 2 minutes after their second goal. They put the scoreline at 2-1. Then in stoppage time, 45+1, Shuriv Nazarenko made it going into halftime to score 3-1. Germans came out shooting on all cylinders, let me tell you, in the second half. In the 64th minute, Simon Rolfs scores the second goal for the Germans. And in the 76th, Thomas Müller, that's right, the striker, scores an absolute beautiful goal for the Germans. And that ended in a 3-3 tie, like a 3-3 draw, like I said. And I don't think Germany really played their best soccer, to be honest with you. But nonetheless, they're going into a very tough place to play, going to Ukraine to play. And they came out of it with a 3-3 draw. Pretty happy for them, if I would think them saying so. because their luck got a little better as a week in the next week or the next round of games. France held United States scoreless in a 1-0 win for France. The United States played actually really, really well. I watched this game. Played fantastic. Goal, this is a pretty decent goal. But, you know, that's unfortunate for United States. And I know there's a lot of pressure right now. On Jurgen Klinsmann, but so far he's just kind of experimenting right now, and things will kind of change when it becomes a time to qualify for the World Cup. He's kind of, you know, experimenting a little bit right now, and this is a tough place to go. The United States was in Europe and had to go to France, so all in all, it's probably a very good road trip there. I know they got to go to some went to the Eiffel Tower. Others, I think, went to, I don't remember exactly where they went. I think they may have went to the Rhine River. I know, I'm pretty sure they went there. I think they might have visited one of the famous battlefields that Napoleon fought on. I'm not quite sure. Don't hold me to that. So all in all, good way to kind of start off the international friendlies for the United States. Mexico beat Serbia 2-0. Carlos Salcido got the first goal in the second minute. And in the 87th minute, Javier Hernandez Chicharito from Manchester United scored the second on a penalty. So the Mexicans getting the win against Serbia, this is good for them. So I'm happy. I'm happy they get that win. They're a very good, very good team. Lots of offensive firepower right there in the Mexican team. On Saturday, South Africa and the Ivory Coast played to a 1-1 draw. In the 35th minute, Sibanzio Yaka was an own goal unfortunately for South Africa, and Katlego Mafia scored for South Africa to even it up in the 53rd minute. Wales smashed on Norway, and I mean smashed, demolished them 4-1. Gareth Bale opened up the scoring in the 10th minute. Craig Bellamy followed that in the 15th minute to make it a 2-0 score going into halftime. In the second half, in the 61st minute, Eric Hekselep scored. And in the 88th minute, Sam Vokes scored to make it a 3-1 game. And in the 89th, that's right, a minute later, Sam Vokes scored again to make it a 4-1 scoreline. Now, the big game, big upset, I'm telling you right now, big upset. England beats World Cup champion and 2010 World Cup champion and defending world champion Spain 1-0 on a goal by Frank Lampard. It's a little unlucky for the Spaniards. A ball came in. I believe it was Bent hit the ball, headed the ball. It hit off the upright on the left side of the goal. Casillas wasn't in goal. It was Pepe Reina. Went to dive for it. Missed it. It squirted back out to the middle. Lampard was right there, probably less than 4 yards out, probably like 3 or 2. And the ball kind of bounced to him, and he just kind of hit it in with his head, and Pepe Reina was way out of position. Tough break for the Spaniards. But England did hold kind of not control, but, you know, held their own defensively against the Spaniards. The Spaniards had a couple chances where they probably should have put it away, but, you know, a little bit of luck never hurt nobody. And the English that Wembley Stadium was played at Wembley was packed. I mean, packed above. It was just like over 90 some odd thousand people were there. It was fantastic. Brazil beat Egypt 2-0 in the 39th minute, Jonas. And in the 59th minute, Jonas again, he gets a brace. Not really a shock. Egypt's a good team. Bob Bradley, the coach now, he coaches the Egypt national team, starts his career off with a loss. It's unfortunate. You always wish that the Americans do well in coaching. Honduras beat Serbia 2-0. Serbia just having a rough weekend in the international friendlies. Big game here for the United States. They get the 3-2 win over Slovenia. That's right, the teams met up again after they were in the same group, Group C of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. Edson Buttle started off the scoring in the 9th minute, only to have it equalized in the 25th by Tim Matthews. But the Americans weren't done there. In the 41st minute, Clint Dempsey scored a fantastic goal, a header. In the 43rd, Jozy Altidore gets a penalty. It's a good call, penalty. They go into halftime up 3-1. In the 61st minute, Tim Matthews scores again. He gets a brace. From the point where he scored to like maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 minutes before that, Slovenia dominated, and they really deserved a second goal. The United States just couldn't get another goal in, but it was nice to see them getting that fire going, that offensive pop that they were needed. Ukraine, after their draw against Germany, beat Austria 2-1. Artem Misevi scored in the 18th minute to put Ukraine up 1-0, only to have it equalized by Marko Amutvik. And in fact, the Ukrainians scored their winning goal a man down. That's right, in the 81st minute. Alexander Kutcher gets a red, so they're down to 10 men. In the 90th minute, that's right, in stoppage time, Marko Devic gets the winner for Ukraine. So big time for them. Denmark beats Finland 2-1. Goals from Daniel Agger and Nicholas Bentner. And Finland's goal scored by Alexiv Zremko. Luxembourg and Switzerland. Switzerland gets the W with a 1-0 win. So it's good to see Switzerland getting on there and playing well after I think they may have deserved a result after playing the Netherlands, who were the runner up in the 2010 World Cup. Greece, Romania gets the 3-1 win. Poland and Hungary. Poland squeaks out with a 2-1 win. Another big game that a lot of people wanted to see was 3-0 Germany over, that's right, runners up in the 2010 World Cup, Netherlands. Goals by Thomas Müller, Miroslav Klose, and Moises Ozil in the 15th, 25th, and 66th minute. They beat the Netherlands. That's big time for the Germans, though the Netherlands were without Robin van Persie. It was a very good game. I saw the highlights. Loved it. And you always like to see lots of goals scored. Uruguay beats Italy 1-0. England gets a 1-0 win over Sweden. The goal was at first scored by Gareth Barry, but upon video review by the FA and officials, it has been dubbed an own goal. Unfortunately, that's so sad because that's England's 2,000th goal scored. It would have been really nice if Gareth Barry could have gotten it, but unfortunately, it does go down as an own goal. France-Belgium played to a 0-0 draw with Costa Rica and Spain also playing to a 2-2 draw. Costa Rica started off the scoring with Randall Brenes in the 31st, and in the 41st, Joel Campbell to go into halftime up 2-0. In the 83rd, David Silva, and then in stoppage time to get the late equalizer is David Villa. So that's really the international friendlies. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll update you on the UEFA playoffs. You're listening to The Red Card on radio.dominican.edu. And fear. I don't even want to hold the wheel and steer. This life and year and always feeling awkward. Gone straight up out my head inside this room. And I am a man who sees in color. And I am a man that you can see right through. But I feel like waking up. Come on, step around my head. I'm this type of fool that's not content with nothing. But nothing is in the end. Yeah, nothing is it again. And I say breathe too much. Twist and I'm on. And my shiny skin is thin.
kiss you gently and hold you in my arms. I'll whisper in your ear in a way that you can barely hear. I say I love you and you say the same. Right from the start I saw your soul next to your heart, like you were made of wind. Every day you bring to me your devotion, honestly, and I swear I'll never leave you alone. Bound into one. I don't know when it began, but from here it will never end. A day and forever, and it's just begun.
Welcome back to the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with me, Casey Gibson. We talked a little bit of international soccer before we went to break. Now that we're back, I'm going to give you a little rundown of the UEFA qualifying. UEFA Euro 2012 qualifying. The playoffs, there were eight teams involved. Bosnia played hosted Portugal. Croatia traveled to Turkey. Montenegro traveled to Czech Republic. And Ireland traveled to Estonia. Okay, here's how the first day broke down. Bosnia-Portugal tied at 0-0. Turkey-Croatia, Croatia won 3-0. And Czech Republic beat Montenegro 2-0. Estonia fell to Ireland 4-0. This was the first day. There's always two legs. Like I've been saying that for a couple weeks now. There's always two legs in most kind of tournaments in soccer. In the second leg, Croatia and Turkey played to a 2-2 or a 0-0 draw. Croatia moves on. Montenegro and the Czech Republic. Czech Republic beat Montenegro 1-0. Czech Republic move on. Ireland and Estonia played to a 1-1 draw. Ireland goes on off of goal aggregate 5-1. Portugal and Bosnia played to a 6-2 game in Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo scored a fantastic free kick in this game. I'm telling you, it was fantastic. He silenced those Bosnian supporters. I know they blamed the field. The Portuguese blamed the field in the first leg. But in the second leg, it was all Portugal. yeah, Bosnia scored twice, but let me tell you, it was all Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo had a fantastic goal. Nani had a really, really nice, beautiful, hard shot from about, oh, I would say maybe 25, 27 yards out. Fantastic. Portugal moves on. So you will see these teams. That's right. You'll see Croatia, the Czech Republic, Ireland, and Portugal in the Euro 2012 format. Now we're going to move on, and we're going to change, not necessarily about scores, but about some interesting stories that are in on the Dirty Tackle. That's right. Dirty Tackle time. I'm telling you, everybody, check this blog out. I love it. It's one of my favorites. There's an angry Newcastle fan. That's right. His name is Graham Cansdale. He's bought a 50-pound commemorative brick at the St. James. He's a Newcastle fan. Newcastle, it plays at St. James Park. Well, they used to. Now it's Sports Direct Stadium. There's a lot of people that are upset about it. He's upset about it. He bought that brick, like I said, the one for 50 pounds. He then decided he dug up his brick at the park. This is what he says. He said he handed in a letter to the managing director, Derek Lembas, warning him the brick was about to be removed, was careful not to damage surrounding bricks, and filled the hole in with a replacement brick. He stresses the brick belongs to him. I've actually reclaimed my own property. Cansdale, it has a certificate of ownership. Now that St. James Parks no longer exists, I think I have every right to protect my property. Mr. Cansdale said he would not return the brick while owner Mike Ashley remained at the club. So we got a big problem. He's the member of the creatively titled Mike Ashley Out campaign. So, I mean, he just doesn't like Mike Ashley. Mike Ashley changed the name of the stadium for free to his own business. He owns Direct Sports, or Sports Direct. So there's a little iron. A lot of fans are kind of upset about it. The club's not in the greatest status with money, so they're hoping that they could get some money for, you know. And it also comes down to, a lot of people just feel that it just takes away from the prestige that the stadium and club had at one point. I don't know about that. That's not really for me to say, because I don't really know the whole story. I'm not there. But I see where they're coming from, at least, no question. Anyway, an interesting story going on. Nigel de Jong, that's right. He plays for Netherlands. He's a Dutch player, but he plays his club football at Man City. He wrote a letter to apologize to Hatet Ben Afra. He's a player, plays for Newcastle City. Newcastle play this weekend. Anyway, last year's game, De Jong slid tackled Ben Afra, and just 6 minutes into the game, and broke his leg in two places. So he wrote an apology to him now, just this week. It's a little, people wondering why he didn't do it right after the game, but I mean, at least he's doing it now. Better late than never, maybe. I don't know. De Jong has kind of a history behind breaking a lot of people's ankles or legs. A cool little thing, real quick. Charlie Jackson, or Noah Kenny, this little 5-year-old soccer player in England, is going to train with Manchester United Development League. He's 5. They've been watching him since he was 3. The catch is, he's a diehard City fan. His dad actually had to convince him to train for Manchester United, and that when he got really good, he would then switch over to City. He would, you know, travel over to City. So it's kind of funny that he's a diehard City fan. He actually cried when he found out he was going to go train with Manchester United, because they're big rivals. So the poor kid. But hey, I just want to know, where were these clubs when I was 5? If you watch this video, if you go to the Dirty Tackle and watch this video, he's amazing. He's fantastic for a 5-year-old. I swear he's not 5. I want to see the birth certificate. I think they're trying to pull a bandana over our eyes, or something over our eyes. Fantastic. Just a great video. I suggest check it out. I think it's kind of funny that he doesn't want to go to Manchester United. I'd be down to go to Manchester United. I'm just saying. I'd be down to go to play anywhere professionally. Czech porn star wants to start her own football club. That's right. Clarissa Leon. She's a porn star that's from the Czech Republic. She's been in Mandingos, Cougars, Boss, you know what I mean? She's got a lot of movies and stuff out, but she wants to buy a soccer team. And she wants to manage, or not, I don't know, manage, but she wants to own the soccer team. She says she's done a lot in her life, and she probably has. She, like, I'm not taking that away from her. She's probably done a lot of stuff that we can't say on air, of course. But who knew that she had a love for soccer? I don't know. I guess someone's going to, she's 32, someone's going to find her and maybe give her, she'll pump some money into a club. Man, who knows? It's a lot like these professional, actors and stuff wanting to get parts of shares in teams. I mean, it's becoming more popular. Porn stars? That's a new one for me. All right, cool. Neymar just signed a new contract to kind of, you know, there's lots of rumors going around that he's going to sign a 55 million euro transfer fee and contract with big Spanish club, Real Madrid. I guess he's not going to do that because he just signed a new extension on his contract that'll keep him at Santos, the Brazilian club, till 2014. So much for the wonder duo at Real Madrid between Ronaldo and Neymar. Or is it? I don't know. I'll leave that up to you guys to debate. Let me know. Probably not going to have enough time to take a call on this show, but next show, call me in. Station is 415-482-3587. Again, that is 415-482-3587. Call in next week. Give me your opinion on the Neymar situation. I'd love to talk to you about that. I think he's a fantastic player. Anyway, the owner for Santos went on to say, the owner claims he told Neymar that Real Madrid, this is how he got him to stay at Santos, is because Real Madrid would make him get rid of his mohawk. And if you've seen his mohawk, he has a mohawk. He has black hair and the top of it is frosted. It looks pretty cool. He makes it work at least. So I don't know if that's true or not. That's not really up to me. that's the dirty tackle. I love it. Go check it out. So you can talk to me about some Neymar stuff. We're going to switch real fast. We're going to bring it back home here to the MLS and to the United States. David Beckham voted MLS Comeback Player of the Year, coming off of his torn Achilles. This is how he came back. I know a lot of people are going, well, he didn't leave. What is that supposed to mean? He's coming back from his torn Achilles, so it makes sense. And, he's a fantastic soccer player. He's having 15, I believe he led the league in assists. He had like 20 something assists. Just a fantastic player. I don't know of anyone at his age that can still play like he can. He can still bend the ball. Bruce Arena, the manager, the coach for the LA Galaxy, earned Coach of the Year. LA's kind of sweeping the board here. Ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday is the MLS Cup Final between the LA Galaxy and the Houston Dynamo. Tune in November 20th. I'm telling you, it's going to be a very good game. If the Galaxy win, will this be the finest team ever of the MLS? I think it will be. Again, you can call me. We'll discuss the Neymar situation and this topic next week. The station number is 415-482-3587. Call me next week. I'll remind you the number then. But I think it could be the finest team ever in MLS history. I think it's a fantastic team. I'm with Donovan, Beckham. I'm throwing it out there. Robbie Keane, come on. Who doesn't like an Irishman and an Englishman? Come on. And the Americans playing together. Fantastic. Beckham's contract only has a few days left on it. Who are they? I'm hoping the LA Galaxy sign him. I'm hoping they do. I think especially if they win the cup, it'll be the greatest season in LA history. And I mean, they had the best season record. And then Donovan Beckham can say he's won a championship there. He won one with United in 99. They got the treble there. He won one and I think it was like, 2005? No, 2006, one or the other. In Spain with Real Madrid, he won La Liga. And if he wins here, he'll have won in every single lead that he's played. The only one that he won't have won, I don't think, would be AC Milan. But I think that's only because he decided to leave before their season was ended. But anyway, he helped them get to there. We're going to take a really quick break, probably a minute or two. And when we come back, we'll talk English Premier League till my time is up. Stay tuned. That's right, we're going to talk English Premier League. Stay tuned right here on the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu.
Take me away.
Back to the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with me, your host, Casey Gibson. So we talked international, we talked some dirty tackle, we talked Euro 2012 qualifying, we talked some MLS. Let's talk a little EPL here real fast before we head out. And I see you guys. I won't be on the air next week. Remember that. I won't be on the air. It is Thanksgiving. I'll be home eating turkey and stuffing and everything else that comes with Thanksgiving and that holiday. And I get to go home to Monterey, see my family. I'm really excited about that. So just reminder, again, I guess we're not going to have a show next week. My apologies. I apologize. I will take the questions or your thoughts about Neymar and the MLS team, finest team ever. Those calls I will take in 2 weeks, which will probably be our second to last show, I believe. Just keep it down. I know we're coming to the end of of the semester, and I apologize for that. Anyway, Tottenham and Arsenal make bids for Brazilian and Inter striker Leonardo Damião. Sepp Blatter hits back at Rio Ferdinand. More racism, I guess. Sepp Blatter hit out a Twitter thing saying he thought racism ended in South Africa, and that any sort of racism should be ended at the end of the game with a handshake. And Rio Ferdinand said that's ridiculous. That's absolutely that doesn't make any sense. That's almost laughable. So, little criticism, Sepp Blatter hitting back at each other. Little bit of punching, I guess, going on right there. Dimitar Berbatov says he would consider a move to Russian Outfit Anzi Makhla. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm so sorry. I know that's a tough name to say. But he wouldn't, and his agent has confirmed this, he wouldn't, totally put that option off to the side. He would definitely consider it, and it probably is considering it without a question. FA charges Liverpool striker Luis Suarez, the Uruguayan, for racially abusing United defender Patrice Evra. FA hasn't confirmed what the sanctions will be, but they're saying there will be sanctions. And Liverpool has backed Luis Suarez. Luis Suarez says, I haven't said anything. Evra came up right after the game with Manchester United and Liverpool and said he use a racial slur at least 10 times towards Evra. So if the FA is investigated over a month, and is charging him, I'm just saying the FA might have something. I don't know. I'm not there. I wish I was. United are looking at Ajax midfielder Christian Eriksen to come into their starting lineup. Chelsea passed on this young, talented midfielder this past summer. They said they didn't want him. This is huge for United. That would boost their... He's young, he's fast, he's quick, he's got a nose for goal. This would boost their midfield tremendously. United is also tracking Everton midfielder Jack Rodwell, maybe putting in a bid in January for both Eriksen and Rodwell. They boost their... midfield capabilities, and it would be a fantastic move. They're both really young. It'd only help out. There's no question about that. Redknapp hoping to return to managing Tottenham against Aston Villa on Monday. He's been out last cup with health issues, and so he's looking to make his return back. A little rundown of what games are coming up and what to watch for here as we leave. Norwich City versus Arsenal. Arsenal look to continue their streak right now. They're on a goal scoring and winning streak. I believe their streak is now out of the last, was it nine games? I think it's 9 games. They've won 8. So they're looking strong. They're pushing. That's for sure. Everton versus Wolverhampton. Man City, Newcastle. Both teams unbeaten. Will they remain unbeaten? We'll find out this weekend. Stay tuned. I feel like that's going to be a good game. Who wins? Last couple weeks, Man City's looked a little. They look like you could beat them, and Newcastle might be the team to do that. They're playing pretty well. They're unbeaten. Will both teams remain unbeaten? I don't think so. I think City might pull this one off by one or two goals. That's my prediction. Sunderland versus Fulham, West Brom Albion versus Bolton. Wigan and Blackburn meet, Stoke City to take on QPR, and Swansea to host Manchester United. Swansea manager says they are going to attack United. Might be a smart tactic seeing as United's come out a little flat the last couple games. They needed an own goal against Sunderland to win 1-0 and last week. United needs to get back into that scoring pace that they were on at the beginning of the year where they beat Arsenal 8-2. Ever since they lost 6-1 to City, they haven't been the same team. Chelsea and Liverpool take each other on. That's going to be a good game. Very, very, you know, even teams. Liverpool's trying to get back up into the top flight. Chelsea is in fourth, I believe, on goal differential. And Tottenham will take on Aston Villa this weekend, and it'll hopefully be the return of Harry Redknapp. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is all for me. Coming to you from Angelico Hall at Dominican University of California. Stay tuned. The Scoop with DJ Misty is up next at 7 right here on radio.dominican.edu. Anyways, that's it for me. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. I will see you in 2 weeks. Later. We'll dance. Yeah, we'll sing. Whoa.